Morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers 10. The Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, Make yourself two trumpets of silver, of hammered work, you shall make them, and shall use them for summoning the congregation for having the camp set out. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Yet if only one is blown, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall assemble before you. And when you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are pitched on the south side shall set out. Alarm is to be blown for them to set out. When they're convening the assembly, however, you shall blow without sounding an alarm. The priestly sons of Aaron, moreover, shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be for your perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feasts, on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God, I am the Lord your God. Now it came about in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, that the cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony. And the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they moved out for the first time according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. And the standard of the camp of the sons of Judah, according to their armies, set out first with Nashon, the son of Abinadab, over its army. Then Nethanel, the son of Zuar, over the tribal army of the sons of Issachar. And Eliab, the son of Helon, over the tribal army of the sons of Zebulun. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari, who were carrying the tabernacle, set out. Then the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their army, set out with Eleazar, the son of Shedir, over its army, and Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, over the army, over the tribal army of the sons of Simeon, and Eliasaph, the son of Duel, was over the tribal army of the sons of Gad. Then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy objects, and the tabernacle was set up before their arrival. But the standard of the camp of the sons of Ephraim, according to their armies, was set out with Elishama, the son of Ammihud, over its army, and Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, over the tribal army of the sons of Manasseh, and Abidan, the son of Gideoni, over the tribal army of the sons of Benjamin. Then the standard of the camp of the sons of Dan, according to their armies, which formed the rear guard for all the camps set out, with Ahiezer, the son of Amishadai, over its army, and Pajiel, the son of Akron, over the tribal army of the sons of Asher, and Ahira, the son of Enon, over the tribal army of the sons of Naphtali. This was the order of march of the sons of Israel by their armies as they set out. Then Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are setting out to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do you good. For the Lord has promised good concerning Israel. But he said to him, I will not come, but rather will go to my own land and relatives. But then he said, Please do not leave us, inasmuch as you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will be as eyes for us. So it will be, if you go with us, it will come about that whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you. Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came about when the Ark set out that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let those who hate thee flee thee before thee. When it came to rest, he said, Return thou, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. Amen. So the first part of the silver trumpets, first of all, there were two trumpets that were made, and it was only two, but later there becomes much more, but the two because there were only two sons of Aaron, and so they were the only ones that were allowed to blow this trumpet. The trumpet was very long. Think about kind of the trumpets you see more in like medieval times, you know, the really long trumpets. That was most likely the look of this one. The Egyptians used a small trumpet, and so God wanted to move as far away from the Egyptian type. And you probably wouldn't recall this, but whenever the Egyptians or the Israelites were working, and the Egyptians blew their trumpet, they were to pay homage to Osiris while they're working and whatnot. And so a very, very similar kind of way, but God obviously is, if you notice, this is not a call to worship, okay? It's a call to assembly. It's a little different. The reason being, in the Egyptians, when they would blow the trumpets for Osiris, it was a call to worship. But for the Israelites, they don't need a call to worship. Why? Because they're to worship all the time. In that same regard for us, or I don't know if you've ever lived or spent time in a Muslim country, right? There's trumpets. There's a horn that lays out the hour of prayer and whatnot, and it's a call to prayer. Christians, we don't have that. You know why? I know it's early. You know why? Remember what Paul says? Pray without ceasing. Right? We don't need a trumpet to tell us. We should be doing it on our own all the time anyway. And so don't equate this with the Muslim idea or anything else. This was a time to gather. And notice when they're blown. Now it says when both are blown, it's all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the doorway of the tent of meeting. If only one is blown, and so don't misunderstand this. It's not like one guy's blowing. What they mean is one blow, then that means the leaders come. I'm really bad. Two blows, it means everyone shows up. And then there's all kinds of different ones. If there's a different blowing of the horn, these would be the alarms, and there's different ones. They had different ones, like meant that the eastern side guys, and then four was the western side, and so on and so forth. You guys understand. So if you think about it, they had a very meticulous way of going about gathering the people of the Lord. Particularly for, God just basically, sometimes he just wanted to have a leadership meeting. You know what I mean? So listen, don't grumble when you get an email from me or from Monica that invites you to a leadership meeting. Ah, man, God called Israel to leadership meetings. You should consider it a privilege to be invited to these leadership meetings. Amen? I didn't like that one. Amen? Because we're having one this Sunday, 4:45. Okay, so if you're, I should make this announcement. If you're serving in a ministry, this is not just a leadership meeting. This is a servants' meeting. If you're serving in a meeting, you have a meeting every 2 months, and the first one of the year is this Sunday at 4:45, and you should be there. So, shall I blow the trumpet? No, I'm not. I'm not going to. Yeah, it's okay. I'll pass. Okay, so these guys would come out and. But there's more significant meaning behind the trumpet. Have you noticed, have you ever been to like a really charismatic church? You guys know what I mean, right? I mean, they got like the trumpets going. They got the, if you guys know the shofar, they got the shofar going. They got the flags, you know, waving around. You know, to me, personally, I like it. If you want to do it at church, you're more than welcome to do it, okay? You could stand right over here. This is the most space. If you want to do that kind of stuff, that's fine. It doesn't bother me or in that regard. But at the same time, it's not something that I'm going to really seek out personally. And maybe a lot of it is because I don't really know that much about it. But when I've talked to people, you know, I had a friend of mine, and he was really... quite on all these things. And so he would have, you know, there's like a worship team. He'd have a flag team as well. And they would just sit, they would line up four people, you know, in the front of the church, and they would just wave their flags, and they did all kinds of really cool stuff, you know, with the flag. And I just thought, that's pretty good. You know, it's kind of cool. A little distracting, but kind of cool. And things, but it's because they recognize, you know, the banner and all these things. It's really more of a Jewish idea. And look what he says is when, and from verse 8, the priestly sons of Aaron, moreover, shall blow the trumpets, and this shall be for your perpetual statute throughout your generation. In other words, the priestly sons of Aaron will continually be blowing these trumpets generation after generation after generation. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. And so in this context, blowing the trumpet, the sons of Aaron, when they blow the trumpet, it was a call for God to move on their behalf. And so in one sense, it was an act of prayer. In verse 10, "And also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feasts and in the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God." And so it was also not just in war, but it was also a reminder in good times. You know, every month when they blow the trumpet, it was as if to say, wow, we survived another month. It's not just, okay, a new month has started. It's like, wow, God's really watched over us this month. Praise the Lord. And it's amazing. You know, we are experiencing this right now because of our baby. He was born on the 21st. And so every 21st, you know, another one's coming up soon. He's going to be now 6 months this January 21st. And it's just like, wow, another month, you know, has gone by. You know, praise God. He's grown, you know, all these things. He's moving better. His neck is stronger. And so because maybe with the child, it's more and more impetus, you know, to honor these monthly goals in this way. And that's what it was like. So it was in a time of war, in a prayer per se, and also even in a time of peace, every month. And it was really part of the sacrificial nature. And so again, I say this. If you play a trumpet or something, you want to bring it to worship service, you're more than welcome to do that. We're not a crazy charismatic church, but we're a charismatic church. I'd say we're crazy. We're a little silly. We'll go about that far and things. And so, but feel free. I think there's something quite holy about that. And so I'll leave it up to you to do that. Then the tribe finally, after 11 months and 29 days, they finally set out from Sinai, and they go and they journey through this. And really, the takeaway from this is something that I've been saying from the New Year's Eve service. Notice, what is in the direct center of the line? What was it? You had one company, two company, you had something in the middle, you had a third company and the fourth company, the company being three tribes together. What was directly in the middle of the procession? It was the ark. It was the holy objects. All right, God, in his infinite wisdom, they were always in the center. And when they're in the center, right, that's when things happen. That's when things moved. God was always very forthright for us. And in that same way, I say it again, when God is in the center of our lives, it just works. It just works. When the Lord is the one that's really the in the middle of our life and our existence and the way we make decisions and all these things, life just works. You put God at the end, you put God, you know, three quarters down the way or whatnot, then it just doesn't work. He has to be the center. It's important. Yesterday, I've been talking about so much about that, so I'm not going to go further. Yesterday, we talked about the cloud and how that worked. Now, notice, here's a really interesting passage from verse 29. It says, "And then Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite," this is Moses' father-in-law, and he says, "We are sending out to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, we will do you good, for the Lord has promised good concerning Israel. But he said to him, I will not come, but rather will go on my own land and relatives. Then he said, please do not leave us, inasmuch as you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will be as eyes for us. So it will be, if you go with us, it will come about that whatever good the Lord does for us, we will do for you. But the brother left. Look what happens later. Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, with the ark of the covenant of the Lord, journeying in front of them for the 3 days to seek out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they set out from the camp. Then it came out when the ark set out that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let those who hate thee flee before thee. And when it came to rest, he said, Return thou, O Lord, to the mere thousands of Israel. Let me kind of break down what just happened here, okay? Here's Moses' father-in-law. Remember, Moses lived for roughly, they say, about 40 years in what they call the backside of the desert, the wayside of the desert. I mean, he was in the boonies. But the Midianites that were with them, the family that he married into and whatnot, man, they were incredibly skilled nomads. They knew every nook and cranny of the desert and whatnot. And so Moses really relied on his relatives to find choice pieces of land and whatnot. Now, the cloud was still leading them, okay? You can look at it two ways, and this is just your own personal interpretation of how you want to look at this thing. This is the way I interpret it for myself in this regard. You know, there are sometimes things in our life that could very easily be a crutch for us. Like, we trust God, and we believe in God, and we want God to lead, but there are certain things that we have in our life that if we're going to be really, really honest, though we follow God, there are certain things that are a crutch, that we lean upon certain people. We lean upon certain things, certain ideas, certain, maybe it could be your intellect. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it is that you lean upon in this regard. And what does God do before he leads them into the place? He removes every crutch. He removes every obstacle that we lean upon. Why? Is God mean? No, God's not mean. It's because that he's the only crutch that you need. Right? He's the only one. And so what is different? I personally think, you know, and a few scholars believe me, I personally think that his family were the ones that really dictating their movements. And then now, afterwards, what happens? The Ark of the Covenant is now fully dictating their movements. So they go out, they take a group of people, 3 days' journey, and now the Ark goes in front of them. That's how it always should be. So you have to look at it this way. The moment that you lean upon something else other than God is the moment that the Ark is not leading you. It's good to have, I mean, good friends. You know, all that stuff is really good. But, again, it's the Ark. It's the presence of God. God knows where he's going. You know what I mean? God knows where you should be going. God knows the exact path that you should be on and things. And so look at it. Look at it. If you want to look at it twofold, there's another way of looking at it. There's the cloud that gives general direction. And there's the Ark, the presence, that gives specific direction. And it moves, it works hand in hand. It's God's presence that comes. And so I think it was really, really important. Because it's kind of like this passage comes out of nowhere. It's really, really important that Moses' relatives go and find their own place. And now Moses has no one to lean on except God. And that's precisely where God wants him to be. And then what does he say? This is really his prayer afterwards. So then when the ark is set out, what does he say? Rise up, O Lord. It's kind of, if you think about this, it's a prayer like, okay, God, you know, all right, it's just you and us now. Okay, rise up, O Lord. And Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. By the way, it would have been really nice to have the Midianites there who know the land and who know these enemies that can negotiate very well for them, isn't it? And so that is now taken out of the picture. And so it's, okay, Lord, I mean, look at Moses' prayer. Okay, God, you better rise up. You know, in other words, I'm only leaning on you. Okay, and so you better do your thing. That's all we have now is you. And so rise up, Lord, and all your enemies, right, let them be scattered before us. All those who hate us, let them flee before you. And when it came to rest, he said, Return thou, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. Right? Moses is in this place of absolute surrender. It's okay, God. It's just you and me. Okay? It's just you and me. Who's in worship this morning? Do you know that song? It's just you and me here now? Okay. So let's close our eyes. I can't believe you know this song. Usually I ask Pina, hey, do you know this song? And it's like 20 years ago. And so I go, no, I'm sorry, I don't know it. It doesn't help that I sing it wrong as well. But let's pray. Let's close our eyes. Listen, brothers and sisters. The only crutch, the only thing that we have to lean on is Jesus the Christ. And that's plenty enough. Let's be led by the cloud. Let's be led by his presence, the resting present glory of God. It's just you and him. And that's all you need. That's all you ever needed. And let's give our hearts to him again.
Only you and me here. I will worship. I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. And I will bow down before you, only you, Lord.
Let's pray this morning. You know, I was reminded years and years ago, right after I graduated from university, and my parents went out to the mission field. I remember taking my parents to the airport at LAX and dropped them off, and they're going to this new country called Uzbekistan I'd never even heard of. And it was quite a tough time. I remember coming home, and I was just cried the whole way back home from the airport. And I remember coming into the home that I was staying. It was my aunt's home. And I just remember just falling to my knees in the dining room and just weeping, just crying, just knowing that everything is going to be very different from now on. And I remember getting really mad at God. And I remember looking up to heaven. I put my fist to the Lord and said, "All right, God, you better take care of them now." You know, but it was more defiance on my part. You know, kind of, "How dare can you do this to me," kind of thing. And I heard the voice of the Lord. It was so clear. I mean, it wasn't his audible voice, but it very well could have been. And I heard the Lord say, "Sam, who can take care of your parents better, you or me?" I said, "You, God." And I just totally surrendered. For me, my parents were my crutch. There's a lot of things we worry about. There's a lot of things that take up our attention. Can you surrender to Jesus this morning? Can you really surrender to Him? Who can take better care of that predicament? You or Jesus? And just hear the voice of the Lord come. Who can do the impossible, you or Jesus? It doesn't benefit you one bit by worrying about it and holding on to it so tightly. This thing, God gives to those hands that are open. Your hands are so tightly clenched to whatever that is, you can't receive. So this morning, just let go. Whatever it is, just let go. Come on, let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that is looking for a miracle. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them and the Lord would really do His work. Again, I want to highlight Michelle Jian Cho, Cheng, Cho is her maiden name. She is having her surgery today, and so she's already admitted, being prepped up, and so the chemotherapy went very well, and so they say thank you for everyone's prayers, and now they're going to remove the tumor on her breast. And so let's pray for peace and pray for her and Peter, and that God would really bring incredible skill to the surgeons, and we get a very favorable report later tonight. Let's just lift her up and lift up everyone on this list today. Let's pray for our community that is ill, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that's going through illness. Let's pray for God's hand upon each one. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. This morning, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray against the wealth gap and that God would really provide for the poor and needy here. Pray for a revival, especially among the churches. And let's lift up our friends ministering here, SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon our city, the place where we live and work, and also the ministries that serve the city. Let's pray. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for God's wisdom and strength, and that we would really trust in the Lord's abilities instead of our own. We're actually welcoming a new staff person today. Rachel is joining us today. Today's her first day of work, and let's pray for Rachel. She enters a new season of her life, and just ask the Lord to just really bless the staff that works so hard for this church. Let's pray for our worship sound and media teams. Let's pray for a real heart of worship, a heart to really serve. Let's pray for excellence in their service to God, and that God would really use them to lead us into the presence of the Lord. Just like last Sunday, man, worship was so powerful. It's powerful every Sunday, but especially last Sunday. And so let's just pray that the teams, all these teams, would really lead us into His heart. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team, for a real spirit of creativity and unity in that creativity. Let's pray for the spread that's going to come out fairly soon. Let's pray for all the people that have their hands on this, and that God would really use them and just really draw them together. Let's pray for a house church that starts tonight, praise God. Let's pray for Bonham, Eastenders, Cornhill, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, and Old Peak Road. Let's pray for our leaders, and let's pray people will gather together during this fast to discuss and really would meet with God and meet with one another. Let's pray. Let's go to our member focus and it's coming. Well, while we find that, let's spend a moment. Let's continue to pray for Christina. She was moved to the general ward, praise God. She's actually doing very, very well ever since our prayer time on Sunday. And so just to really encourage us about praying together. So let's just lift up. Also, in that same vein, let's lift up Louie's dad, who had the surgery yesterday. Surgery went very, very well. So she wants to thank you guys as well. And so let's just continue to lift up his recovery. So let's pray for Christina. Let's pray for Louie's father right now. Let's pray for our brother Jungmin. Let's pray for Hyunjin and himself, a deeper revelation of the Father's love and a deeper passionate love for him. Pray for God to prepare their heart. Can you go back? Prepare our hearts to be godly parents, for God to bless them with the timing with children and to equip them with spiritual gifts and otherwise to serve his kingdom and saints. So let's pray for Jungmin. Let's pray for Hyunjin. Let's pray that she would know him deeply and more personally. Pray that she would rejoice always in God and she would just really hear God's vision for her life. Let's pray for Kevin. Let's pray that he would strive to be more intimate in his relationship with God and even after the fast. I pray for a career and future that God continues to guide him in the right direct decisions. And pray for his parents' health, that they will live long and happy lives to see all their grandchildren. Let's lift up Kevin. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for hearing our prayers, God. We thank you that you are a loving, generous God that always desires to bless his children. God, we're your children, Lord. And so would you bless us today, Father, that we would seek after you with all of our heart, God. Lord, forgive us for, Lord, leaning, God, upon other things other than Christ. And so, Father, help us to just put you first in everything, God. We thank you, Lord. Just watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.